Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
As some of you already know, we have been starting this series called The Journey of Wonder. It's an 11-week journey that we're going on. And the reason why this is so important is that we believe that this summer, everything that God is going to do is going to prepare us for what is to come. And so far, we've been looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, and we've been looking at this fruit of the Spirit. And part of the things that we want to experience is that we want to be able to experience the joy of walking with Jesus. And that's the fruit that we want to talk about today. Let me just kind of rehash the purpose of why we're doing this series. As you know, the first thing is we really want to recapture the wonder of the gospel. And the reason why this is important is because we realize that oftentimes some of us who grew up in the church, we hear the gospel so many times and we've lost that sense of awe and amazement at what the gospel message means for us. So we want to recapture that. So out of that, we can love Jesus purely and with a devotion because he first loved us. And then after that, we also want to try to accomplish this idea of responding to this wonder of the gospel in obedience to his word. We want to obey him because we love him, and we cannot obey him until we are fully full of that wonder of the gospel message. And the last thing is that we want to rely upon God for this upcoming year. And so there's a lot of things that are coming up. We're going to be slowly heading into our 10th year anniversary and just the faithfulness of God, and we believe that God is going to do greater things, and that's why we want to prepare it to once again go back to the heart of the gospel, to be able to love Jesus, to love his people, to love his mission. And it really has to come through being amazed and in wonder of the gospel. So I want to start off this morning and just talk to you by asking a question. It's simply this, that when you think about your week, the question is, what brings you the greatest joy? I want you to think about it, because a lot of times we go through the whole week and we forget that there are certain moments throughout the week that we actually experience great joy. For some of us, it might be experiencing a good restaurant or good food, or maybe there's a coffee place that you discovered and it's really good. For some of us, it might be exercising. I don't know, you know, maybe all the endorphins are kicking in and there's a great sense of joy that you experience. For some of us, it's maybe hanging out with our loved ones or people that we care about, and it just brings great joy to our hearts. For some of us who are a little bit task-oriented, checking off all your boxes of your task list, it might bring you great joy throughout the week. For some of us, it might be some time alone in a busy lifestyle here in Hong Kong that you're able to just have some time by yourself. You have an hour or a couple hours or maybe the whole afternoon or the whole evening, and you can spend some time alone. And that is the very thing that brings joy to your heart. Regardless of what we do, sometimes we forget that we can experience joy in some of the most simple and basic things of life. In fact, I want to show you this video really quickly. And this video is about a baby, just a young kid, who is with his father, and they are just talking, and they're making noises, and the baby is just going crazy. He's laughing, the father's laughing, and they keep on doing this over and over again. And I just want you to see just the simple things of life and how it could bring great joy to a person's heart. So let's watch this video together. Wasn't that awesome? I hope you enjoyed that. Just looking at that little baby, and they're like, "What's up?" And they're mimicking one another. And they could go on, and I think they could have gone on for a long time. And when I think about it, I was thinking about my own children when they were younger. I remember when I used to pick them up and then just throw them up in the air, and then I would catch them. And the thing that my kids would always say is, "Again, again," or "Do it again." And so I would do that again, and after about maybe the sixth or seventh time, I'm just like, okay, no more. In my mind, I'm thinking no more. But they're like, again, again. And I'm thinking, I get it, but what is it? It's fun, but for the parent, it might be a little bit difficult. But something about the innocence of a child, just being able to be thrown up in the air, be be caught, and it brings such great joy. And I think as we get older, I think it's really easy to lose a lot of that innocence and the sense of joy. In fact, I think for many of us who are older, we get more cynical. Many of you heard of the grumpy old man or the grumpy old lady. I'm praying really hard that that doesn't happen to me as I'm getting older. But it's something that we see in life where as we get older, we lose that sense of joy. We lose that sense of innocence. We lose that sense of that purity of our hearts. And that's why I think it's really important that we don't get cynical, and we have to guard our hearts against that and find out what are the things that cause us to be or lose that sense of joy in our lives. I want to read you a quote by G.K. Chesterton, and he says something in his book Orthodoxy that I think is really important. Listen to what he writes. He says this: because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again, and the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony, but perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun, and every evening, do it again to the moon. It may be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite for infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. What a great reminder for us that there was a time when we were younger, whether in our faith or maybe just in our age when we were younger, and things were so simple. And so even simple things that seem monotonous, that it brings us great joy. And I'm so thankful to God that he doesn't lose the sense of joy, that everything that he does, every single day, whether it's a sunset or the sunrise or the moon that appears, that he's saying, do it again, do it again. I just pray, it is my hope and prayer that each one of us we'll be able to recapture the sense of joy in our lives, because it is part of recapturing the wonder of the gospel. So today I want to talk about this fruit of joy and regaining this childlike heart to find satisfaction in knowing God and also loving him again. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this, that as we learn how to abide, there's a joy that Jesus will abide. Will provide. Let me say it again. As we learn how to abide, there's a joy that Jesus will provide. So I'm going to talk about two specific things as we look at one verse this morning. And the two things that we have to remember about learning how to abide so that we can have the joy that Jesus will provide. The first thing is this: joy originates with Jesus. That joy originates with Jesus. So I'm going to ask you, if you haven't already, to turn to John chapter 15, verse 11. If you don't have a Bible, you can go ahead and follow along on the screen there. But I want to talk about how joy, the first thing is that joy originates with Jesus. It's really important that we make some distinctions between joy and happiness, because I think there is a difference. The problem is that in this world, they almost make it synonymous, and oftentimes, if you understand the difference and the meaning of each one, it is much different. We've been taught to believe that being joyful and happy are really the same thing, but they're not. Our society tells us that happiness is something that we are all entitled to. In fact, they will say that it's something that we should seek after. That's why many of you right now, even in this room, this is what you're doing. You are seeking after happiness because we all want to be happy. That's why we think to ourselves, if we make a lot of money, that somehow we're going to be happy. If we buy that particular thing that we desire, that it's going to make us happy. If we hit that specific goal of target of sales, it's going to make us happy. Or if we hit that GPA that we want, then it's going to make us happy. This is what the world preaches to us when it talks about happiness. It's more of an emotion or just a feeling. Even though it is true both for joy and happiness, But it almost seems as if once you obtain this thing, then that's where the happiness lies. And I want to make sure that we understand what the problem is. And here's the problem. Because the world has told us that if you obtain material things, or even if you obtain even relationships, that somehow that will bring happiness. If you remember, back in 1989, there was a song by Bobby McFerrin. His song, it won the song of the year. And that song was "Don't Worry, Be Happy." Do you remember that song? Okay, I won't even try. But it says, "Don't worry, be happy." How many of you guys know that song? You know that song. And when you think about that song, it's just like, no matter what you're going through, don't worry about it. Just be happy. It almost seems as if it's very superficial and cavalier. But here's the thing. We all know that when we go through things in life, it's hard, it's difficult, and we don't feel happy at that moment. And no matter how much you try to ignore it, don't worry about it, just be happy, we know that we still feel some of the things within our lives. I think this is why many people see happiness in a very superficial way. Listen to what John Piper said as he tries to define biblical joy. He writes this. He says, "Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world." So what we see here is that this joy that we're talking about, it is produced by the Holy Spirit. So it is something that is supernatural. And therefore, we cannot try to force it or try to fake it. You cannot try to force yourself to be joyful. It's something that is produced by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we see this when we look at the beauty of who Christ is and the beauty of his creation and also in the beauty of his word. This is when we're able to experience the joy that we see in Scripture, the genuine, true, biblical joy. We have to understand that joy is a byproduct. This is what's important for us to understand. It's not something that we seek after, but rather it is the byproduct of seeking Jesus Christ. When you look upon the beauty of who Jesus is, and this is why it goes back to the whole gospel message and how we are in wonder of this gospel. When we see Jesus in all of his beauty and in this gospel message, that's where we will be able to experience this great joy, because it is a byproduct of knowing Jesus Christ. So let me go ahead and read John chapter 15, verse 11. And it's just one verse, and I'm going to break it down and help us to understand this. So the first thing, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about how Jesus is the originator of this joy. Listen to what it says. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." The question is this. What are these things that Jesus was referring to, and he spoke to the disciples? Well, in order to understand this, we have to go back and look earlier in verses 1 through 10. Because Jesus makes it very clear that when we abide in him, that's when we're able to produce much fruit. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. That was the emphasis, that if you abide in him, that you will be able to bear much fruit. Now, the word abide is translated as remain or dwell. So therefore, when we abide or dwell or remain in him, in the presence of Jesus, there are several things that will happen. First of all, we see that there will be answered prayers. We see this in verse 7. It says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." I want to read it in the Message translation, and please read the yellow section with me. Listen to what it says. "But if you make yourself at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask, it will be listened or will be listened and to acted upon." So what we see here is that when we are abiding, remaining, dwelling in the presence of Jesus, that we see here that prayers are being answered because his words are abiding in us, and those words are what we're speaking in prayers and God will answer because he is true to his word. The second thing that we notice that begins to happen when we dwell or abide or remain in him is that there will be an experience of God's love. We see this in verse 9. Let me read it from the ESV. It says this, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." So when we abide in Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, that we are able to experience this love, the love that Jesus had experienced from the Father. Now as we abide in him, we're able to experience this kind of love. The third thing that you will notice is that there will be an obedience to his word. In verse 10, I'm going to read from the NIV translation. It says this, "If you obey my commands and you will remain in my love, you will remain in my love just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." So when we're abiding, dwelling, remaining in presence of Jesus, then one of the things that we will see is that we will want to obey his word. Now, in verse 11, as we just read, we see that with this abiding and remaining and dwelling in the presence of Jesus, he also says that we will have this joy. So I want to make it very clear that when we think about joy, not only is it produced by the Holy Spirit, but it comes when we are abiding and dwelling and remaining in the presence of Jesus. I want you to note this. The root word for joy in the original language is chara. Now, the reason why this is important is because this is where we get the word charis. And that word charis is translated as grace. So put this together. Joy is chara, which is the root word. And then that's where we get the word charis, which means grace. And so therefore, joy is really a gift from God, as well as a response, the emotional response to God's gift to us. So I hope you understand that this is not something you work for. Joy is not something that you earn, but it really is something that is given to us as a gift as we are remaining and abiding and dwelling in the presence of Jesus. Now, you will notice that Jesus says, "My joy." It is not any other joy. It is a joy that Jesus gives because it originates from him. It comes out of him. It's who he is, and he's giving us this joy. As believers, as you know, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And as it lives in us, we know that we are now able to have this joy that comes, that can only come from Jesus. So I want you to now pull back a little bit and think about this. Is that this joy that many of us are seeking after, it is produced by the Holy Spirit, that it comes forth in our lives as we are dwelling and abiding and remaining in Jesus in his presence. And as we think about this, then we realize that it is only Jesus who gives us this joy, which is a gift. It is a gift that he gives unto us, and then as we respond to all the gifts that he has given, that's what produces the joy. Now, in order to fully experience this joy that originates with Jesus, we got to realize a couple things. And I think I alluded to it, but I want to give you other portions of scripture to understand that when we really want this joy and we are in his presence, there are things that we have to do. There are things that we will respond to. The first thing is this: spend time with Jesus. Because if we're dwelling in and abiding and remaining in him, he's going to give us this joy. He says, "My joy I'm going to give unto you. I will give to you." In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11b in the ESV, listen to what it says and read the yellow section with me out loud. It says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So think about that. That in the presence of God, that there is this fullness of joy. I want to read to you in the NIV. Listen to what it says. "You will fill me with," let's say it all together, "joy in your presence with eternal pleasures at your right hand." So not only do we have this fullness of joy, it says he will fill us with this joy in his presence. Can I ask us, how often do you spend time with Jesus? How often are you aware of his presence? I'm wondering if some of us are going through a lot of difficult times and we're not experiencing just joy. I'm wondering if it's because you haven't really spent time with him, you're not dwelling and abiding in him. Because if you do, as it says in his word, that we will experience the fullness of this joy in his presence as we abide in him. The second thing that we will notice is this, to start each day with joy. What I simply mean is it's a decision that we make every single day. Listen to what it says in Psalm chapter 90, verse 14. It says this, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." This idea of rejoicing or having joy and being glad, it starts in the morning. That's the prayer that the psalmist is lifting up. Satisfy us with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. What would happen if you got up in the morning and that was one of the first things that you did, that you were able to speak forth or even sing or even declare the joy of the Lord that's within us? Because that is our strength. The New Living Translation says this, "Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love so we may," what? Say this together, "sing for joy to the end of our lives." Every morning getting up, speaking forth and singing about the joy that we have because we are in the presence of God. Here's the last thing, the third thing that we notice here. There's a surplus of joy. Psalm chapter 4, verse 7 in the ESV. Read the yellow section with me. It says this, "You have put," what? "More joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound." So there is more joy that is in us, in our hearts, than if we were to have an abundance of all these other things of this world. That's why the New Living Translation says this, "You have," say this with me, "given me greater joy than those who have an abundant harvest of grain and new wine." And for some of us here that cannot fully understand, let me give you the Message translation. Listen to what it says. "More joy in one ordinary day than they get in all their shopping sprees." Uh-huh. Now some of you are slowly understanding that. So the joy that comes from finding that deal and the joy that comes from shopping and getting whatever you want, the Bible tells us that there is more joy than these days that we have. Once again, the one thing that we talked about and we want us to remember, I want you to remember, is that as we learn how to abide, there's a joy that Jesus will provide. That as we learn how to abide, there's a joy that Jesus will provide. I want to close out with the second point. So not only does joy originate with Jesus, but I want you to understand that joy overflows from Jesus. That joy overflows from Jesus. I want you to look at the last phrase of verse 11. It says, "And your joy may be full." Now the word "full" is translated as rich or abundant. So that's why the NIV translates it, and that your joy may be complete, that it is something that it is fulfilling. The Message translation says, "And your joy wholly mature." So it's complete, this idea of being complete as we saw it earlier. And then in the New Living Translation, it says this, "Yes, your joy will overflow." So here's Jesus who says, "It's my joy," right? "And these things that I've mentioned to you," which is abiding in him, "my joy will be given to us." And then it says that, "And then your joy may be full." That it will overflow in our lives. So not only is the joy coming from Jesus, but it will overflow from Jesus to us so that we could overflow in this joy. That's why I think it's really important that we understand that it is not just enough, but rather it is abundant. It is overflowing in our lives. And I think when I think about joy, the reason why that some of us lose the sense of joy is because we allow the circumstances and the things that we're going through in our lives to steal that joy that God has given to us. I realize this is a struggle even for myself. There are so many things. If I would just sit down and think about all the blessings that I've received, when I think about all the things that I'm able to do and the ways that God in his grace has been able to use me to help other people. I mean, when I think about it, ponder upon it, doesn't matter where I am, it always brings joy to my heart that I'm actually doing the very thing that God has called me to do. But as soon as I start facing difficulties, struggles, or there's circumstances that are beyond my control, that joy that I had quickly dissipates. And I think this is what we have to confront and we have to be honest with, that there is an actual spiritual warfare that is going on, that Satan wants to do everything possible to take away this joy. And I think one of the ways he does that is to make us cynical. We have lost, many of us, we have lost a sense of wonder of who Jesus is. We've lost the sense of wonder of this gospel message that we were separated from God. We were objects of wrath. God's wrath was upon us. But Jesus Christ loved us that he came to this earth and died on the cross and then rose again from the dead so that we don't have to face punishment from Jesus, from God, the Father. But then Jesus rescued us. He delivered us. He redeemed us. And we lose sight of that joy, knowing that we've been set free, because now we're constantly focused on all the things around us. And I just want to challenge us as we are in this whole series, the wonder of the gospel, this journey that we're on. I want us to recapture, once again, the essence of what Jesus talks about. Because this joy that is part of the fruit of the Spirit, as we walk in Him, allow the Spirit to lead and guide us, this joy is ours in Christ. And I pray that there will be joy in all of our hearts as we live for Jesus. I think we struggle to remember that the joy that we have overflows in our lives. And so I want to just give you some practical things as this joy is given to us, and that it will be full, abundant, complete, overflowing. What are some things that we can do when we're in those situations, when the circumstances come and we lose sight of this joy and Satan's trying to steal this joy from us? The first thing is this: we must confess our joy. Now, that might sound kind of weird. Like, every time we think about confession, we think about like repentance. But just being able to confess it and to say it, that this joy is mine. The joy right now I'm not experiencing, but I know it's mine. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to read this in the ESV. It says this: rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. So here's Paul talking to the people of Philippi, and he's telling them to rejoice in the Lord, to be joyful in the Lord. And he doesn't say it once, but he actually says it twice, and he says, I say it again, rejoice. And there's something powerful when you're able to speak forth and confess this joy into your life. Sometimes you got to speak it to your soul. Sometimes you have to say it out loud to remind yourself. So we must confess our joy. The second thing is this: we must count our joy. Now, I get this from James chapter 1, verse 2. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation and then read it from the English Standard Version. Listen to what it says in the NLT. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, say this word, consider it as what? An opportunity for great joy. So here's the writer of James saying that whenever you face difficulties or troubles in your life, he says, consider, that's a key word, that these things are opportunities for great joy. Now, I'm going to read it from the ESV. Listen to what it says. And I want you to say this out loud with me in the yellow section. Are you ready? It says this: count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, I want you to try to picture this, because the New Living Translation says to consider. The ESV says to count. And so when you look at that word, count it all joy, try to picture this. Try to picture yourself as a little kid. You know, when you were younger, you had this thing called a piggy bank. This is where you would just put money in there. And then you will then, it will get full, and then you're trying to count all the money. So here you are opening up your piggy bank, taking all the money out, and what you're doing is you're counting all the coins. And then as you're counting it, you realize that you have more than you thought you had. That this pig, right, this piggy bank, it was carrying more than you thought. And so what does it produce in you? It produces great joy. You're happy because here you are counting your coins and you realize that you have this amount of money. Now, let me give you an illustration that I experience quite often. As many of you know, when you go out and go buy food or buy other things, you get coins, you get change back, unless you're paying on your Octopus or on your phone or whatever. But sometimes when you're paying cash, you end up getting some change. And so what I do is I collect all of the coins and I put it in a Ziploc bag. I don't know why I'm sharing all this personal stuff that I do, but anyway, just I want to make the point. So every single time I have coins and, you know, they're in my pocket, and I take it out in the evening, I would then put it into this Ziploc bag. Now, the thing is that as over a period of weeks or so, you start collecting all these coins. And then what I do is when I have some free time, I then open up the Ziploc bag, I take out all the money, and I start counting. And I put it into tens. So $10 worth, Hong Kong dollars. So I'll put like $2, $5 and put it together, and I'll start putting all these things. And then I'll make five of these $10, which makes $50 Hong Kong dollars. And what I do is then I'll take that and I'll put it in another Ziploc bag, a smaller one, that I would then put in my backpack. Do you know why? Because I would then go to the MTR and then I will go to that booth, the customer service booth, and I will dump out all my coins from the Ziploc bag and then say, can I put $50 on my Octopus card? Now, I will have to say, there are some who are very, very polite or very, very nice. So they look at me, kind of smile. Here I am, this older gentleman, and I'm collecting all these coins like a little kid. And they count every single coin, and they would put it on that card reader and give me $50 on my card. So I would just start collecting like $50 on my Octopus card here and there. There are some people who give me the most dirtiest look. Like they are offended because, yes, I do use sometimes the 20, you know, $20 or 20 cent ones. And so I try to collect it. And so some of them are really upset. But it's legal. I looked it up. You can give them smaller coins. But they will still give me $50 on my Octopus card. Now, as I was thinking about this passage, it says, count it all joy. I realized the way I count the money and put it in a Ziploc bag, just like that kid when you were younger and you open up your piggy bank and you started counting all the coins and you realize how much you have. What Paul, or the writer of James, what he's trying to say is this. He says, when you are facing troubles and difficulties in your life, just sit down and start counting and remunerating or considering all the blessings that you have received from God. Think about all the times where you experienced His grace. Think about all the times where you've experienced His kindness, His love, His patience. And in those moments, as you're counting, you realize no matter what you're going through, that there's joy that comes forth because God is still watching over you and He's with you. So that's why I really believe a part of experiencing joy in our lives, especially when we're facing difficulties, is learning how to count it all joy. Here's the third and last thing, is that we must contend for our joy. It's not something that it just comes, but we have to contend for it. We have to be willing to struggle and to fight for this joy. Listen to some of these verses that remind us of that. In Psalm 51, verse 12, in the New Living Translation, it says this, restore to me the joy of my salvation and make me willing to obey you. That sometimes we lose this joy because of sin. This is David writing the psalm after he sinned with Bathsheba. And he's writing the psalm and he says, restore to me the joy of my salvation, the salvation, your salvation that you've given to me. Restore that unto me and make me willing to obey you. That's contending for the joy in your life. Even though you don't feel like it, even though you might feel like God is not pleased with you, but knowing the truth that he loves you, he forgives you, and so you contend for this joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, in the New Living Translation, it says this, so you receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. So here's Paul talking to the Thessalonian people, and he's simply saying is that you receive this message with great joy, even in the midst of your suffering, and to be able to contend for it as we imitate God, imitate the people that have gone before us. The last verse is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In the New Living Translation, it says this, so be truly glad. There is, why don't you say this together with me, wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. That this joy that we can experience, that's ahead of us, as we learn how to endure or contend for this faith, as we contend for this joy in our lives. How about us this morning? I'm just wondering if your joy is overflowing. Are there things that you're going through right now that's completely blinding you from all the blessings that God has given you, even the joy that Jesus Christ has put in you? I'm wondering if part of it is because you haven't been abiding, dwelling, and remaining in his presence. This joy is a byproduct of knowing Jesus Christ. May you know him more through the wonder of the gospel message as we are on this journey together. To know him once again. Be refreshed in the spirit because you are spending time with him. You're understanding what he has done for you. That's why once again, as we learn how to abide, there is joy that Jesus will provide. There is this joy that he's going to provide for us as we spend time with him. Can I just give us some practical things for us to apply into our lives? Let's not allow the word just to come through one ear and out the other, but let's take this and apply it into our lives. The first thing is this, seek time with God to renew your mind and your heart. It's what you seek after reveals what's in your heart. Spend the time to seek after God and his heart, and that's when your mind will be renewed. Your heart will be renewed. So it doesn't matter what you're going through, that you can trust that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So seek that time with him every single day, even this coming week. The second thing is this, is to speak or sing Jesus' joy to yourself. As you get up in the morning, speak that joy, command that joy to rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Some of you are great singers, some of you are not. And it doesn't matter because when you're in the shower, Jesus' presence is there. So sing, speak, to be able to command your soul to have joy because of what Jesus Christ has done. Try it as you get up in the morning and start off the day with that joy. I'm wondering how the rest of the day will be because your perspective has changed. Which is the third thing, is shift your perspective. Don't focus so much on the present. Don't focus so much on what you see, but have faith. Look ahead to what God has planned for you. Think about the things that he has already done in your life. As you count the joy in your life, count all the blessings that you know that more blessings will come because he is a faithful God.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.